And when I say it's transformed my life, I do not say it lightly. I mean, my life looks different now than it did before I heard this message. And really, that starts with the understanding of the gospel.
Welcome to the Braveheart Podcast, where we help you discover why you may be feeling far from God, and we show you how you can have a more meaningful connection with Him. This week, we are still in the middle of what we're calling the Braveheart Vault, which is where we're taking some of our favorite episodes from the last couple years, and we're bringing them back and having people share testimonies about how these episodes have impacted them. So you're about to hear the rest of this clip from Austin, along with this episode.
Hey friends, welcome to this week's episode of the Braveheart Podcast. My name's Austin. I am so honored to share with you about this week's message because it has transformed my life. And when I say it's transformed my life, I do not say it lightly. I mean, my life looks different now than it did before I heard this message. And really that starts with the understanding of the gospel. You know, I grew up in a great church, in a great home, heard the gospel many, many times. At one point, I received it, and I gave my life to the Lord, and I was born again, praise God. And, you know, I've heard from that moment, I've heard many different messages preached of the gospel, as well as I've been taught how to preach it, how to teach the gospel. And even through that training that I received afterwards, I'm like, do I really understand this message? Do I really have an understanding of what the gospel is? And not even just from the perspective of teaching or sharing my faith with other people, from the perspective of this calling that Paul calls us. He says in Philippians 1, he says, let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What I've realized is we can't live a life worthy of the gospel until we have an understanding of the reality of the gospel. And so that's why I believe this message has transformed my life so deeply, is because it has put a grid to the reality of the gospel through the revelation of Jesus Christ. And not only through who he is, but the distinct works of Jesus associated with each revelation. Because each of those works have an implication to our everyday life and empower us to live this thing out. And to run, it says, you know, standing firm in one spirit with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And so as we receive this together today, I just want to invite everyone, because this message has the ability to empower us to live a life worthy of the gospel of Christ.
Thank you for Jesus and how wonderful he is. And Lord, we just ask that you would open our hearts to him, that we would see him, God, more clearly. Spirit of wisdom and revelation, come and open the eyes of our heart so that we may know what is the hope of our calling. We want to know Jesus more. We want to know you more. And Father, I ask for your great grace tonight, the power of the Holy Spirit to flow to every single heart. God, there are so many needs that our hearts have. And if you're honest with yourself tonight, your heart is in need of his love. In some area, in some way, your heart is in need of that divine flow of the Spirit. And so, Father, I just position all of us, Lord, for that divine flow of your Spirit as we gather around your gospel. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, you can turn to Ephesians 2. I'm probably going to get there eventually. I want to, so we've been looking at the Messiah again. For those of you here in the room and online, if you want to join us online, you're welcome to at braveheartu.com. There's an e-course on there. Eventually, just a couple of announcements. We are Braveheart is praying, more than praying. We feel like we've heard from the Lord, but I'm still overwhelmed. So that's why I'm not just out with it. We felt like the Lord spoke to us about really intentionally walking with 24 people from January to May here in Dallas. So don't worry, my online people. We're going to still do the thing that I said we're going to do. But we're talking about walking with 24 people and doing applications and this whole thing. Specifically, to equip them, empower them, set them on fire for the gospel, and then equip them to host a group like this. Not necessarily with a whiteboard, not necessarily anything fancy, but the goal would be to help facilitate a discussion around the gospel. One of my former students at Christ for the Nations, her name is Sydney. She was in my class last semester. She was in our summer filming of the e-course. She came to me. She said, my life has been transformed by the gospel. My heart's on fire. I'm walking in freedom. And she was gripped. And she came to me and she goes, I want to take other people through this. And so I was like, wow, that's humbling and amazing. And that's my prayer. That's my heart. Like, I want to raise up mothers and fathers who will take ownership of people's faith and say, hey, I want to see them grow up into the fullness of Christ. Paul said this in Corinthians. He says, you have many teachers, but you don't have many fathers. A teacher just imparts revelation, knowledge, information. A father takes ownership of the impact of that revelation and teaching and says, I'm not going to just tell you something. I'm going to show you my ways. I'm going to show you how this revelation should impact the way you live your life. So it's not going to just have some spiritual ramification. A father actually cares about all the aspects of your life. One of my biggest tensions, I'll share this with you guys, is I oftentimes, whether from a pulpit or even sometimes in an environment like this, I'm like, I sometimes feel, and I don't feel this from this group as much, because I feel like you know you came to a downtown office building to be here. Like, it's a little more effort to get here. But sometimes I feel like people are looking for one thing, and I want to give them another thing. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so I don't always feel like, I feel like sometimes the wires gets crossed, and that's just the nature of in ministry sometimes. And so I'm sharing that with you because we're gonna make more announcements in that in the coming weeks. But I grew up in the church. I've been around the church now in full-time ministry for 7 or 8 years. And I'm really sobered by one thing, that there are a lot of Christians that are hurting. Just simply put, like, Christians are hurting. They're asking a lot of questions, and our culture is a very hostile environment. It's shaky waters if you're not sure in your faith. If you don't know what you believe and why you believe it, there is a torrent of activity that can make you question what and why you believe and all that stuff. There's voices out there. And so something that's deep in my heart, this may sound presumptuous, it's not, I really believe God intended there to be a standard of Christianity. Like, Christianity wasn't this fluid thing of like, well, yeah, whatever you think it is. Right? Like, well, it's just whatever, truth is whatever you make it to be. Which is a lot of what our culture's infiltrated into the church. So you've got all these sort of expressions of Christianity, but you've got so many people who identify with the Christian faith who don't represent Christ. Mm-hmm. So it's created this muddy waters, and you've got the world going, some person, you know, bashing Beth Moore. John MacArthur bashes Beth Moore. He says, go home, Beth Moore. Did y'all see this? No, yes, no. John MacArthur is like a super conservative evangelical, and in the setting, he's like mocks Beth Moore because she's teaching. He doesn't believe women should teach. And so anyway, it was this whole thing, and you're like, but it was everything about it was just felt yucky. and off and wrong. And you're like, and he's this espoused, in some camps, teacher of the word. And so you've got this confusion, right, on what Christianity looks like. And it's frustrating.
Let me see. Are you guys still good? You guys are still telling me where you come from. Praise God.
My heart and my prayer has been, Lord, would you raise up a picture for the world of what it looks like for people to be in covenant with you? That's my heart. That's my desire. And I find it interesting. I don't know if you guys follow the Kanye West thing.
Yeah.
It's hard to miss it. So I don't know where people, I don't think anyone here, maybe online, I'll share this. I'm super excited about Kanye West. And I know there's people saying, well, like, let's wait and see and this and this. And I immediately, when I saw it happen, I was like, Philippians 1, Paul's in jail, and he's like in prison, and he's going, you know what? He's like, people are preaching Christ out of rivalry and envy and false motives. And he goes, I thank God. I just rejoice that he's being preached.
Yes. Yes.
So even if Kanye were to come out and go, my motive is false, and I'm just preaching to make money, we have biblical precedent to go, praise God, he released an album named Jesus is King. And I'm actually more optimistic in that. I've watched some interviews, I've watched some stuff, and I praise God, and it's exciting. But I'm even finding there's believers that I've talked to, strong believers, that are being emboldened by his faith.
Yeah.
That are going, I need to be not so PC about my faith.
Yeah.
No, legitimately, I'm talking about not like casual believers. I'm talking about believers I know who are radical for Jesus, or looking at Kanye's life going, wow, he does not give a rip. And they're going, man, I've been in the church my whole life. And they're like, wait a minute. And their spine is stiffening.
Yeah.
And they're going, wow, I wonder if I could do this thing.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was talking to some friends today, and we were talking about, again, this is not to be political or anything, but he was saying, I was praying about, you know, Lord, what are you doing? What's your perspective with all this? And the Lord spoke to him and said, I'm using the unlikely people to shake the kingdoms.
Yes.
Donald Trump, I'm not making a political statement. Here's a fact, though. He has shaken the political. He's never been a politician, and he shook the political system. Like him or hate him, I'm not making any statement. He shook it. He rattled our whole political system is now like being exposed because of this man. And the people, watch this, the people who put their trust in the political system are the ones who are the most anxious. So God in his mercy is shaking kingdoms. Watch this. Through Kanye West, he's going to shake the church. He's going to shake Hollywood. Truly, he's shaking the church. He's shaking Hollywood. Through Donald Trump, shaking the political systems. If you put your trust in those kingdoms, you'll find that those people are the most anxious. The people that are the most panicked about Kanye are the people that have put their trust in some religious construct because he blows that whole thing out of the water.
Yeah. That's right.
And so what God in his mercy, listen, this is, I'm just speaking, I never, whatever. I know we'll get to the gospel, but God in his mercy is allowing these things that people trust in to be toppled so that we're receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Yeah.
Hebrews 12. So let us be grateful and offer acceptable worship to him, for our God is a consuming fire.
Yeah.
And so I'm actually super encouraged and optimistic. I get really excited when the world's kingdoms get shaken. And I'm not happy that people panic, but I'm happy that what people trust in falls, that's not Jesus. Because then they can finally go, I need Jesus.
Yes.
Right? Because we prop ourselves up with all these things, you know, because we don't fully trust Jesus. So that's my spiel on that. I've listened to the album. My kids and I danced to it. Yeah.
Chick-fil-A?
All right. So, Philippians 1. Can someone read it? Philippians 1. Let me get there. 27. Philippians 1, 27. Someone read it out loud, loud enough for our live stream. Can y'all hear me? Good. Someone read it close to the computer. Brenny? Philippians 1, 27. Are you guys there? Read it out loud.
Philippians 1, 27. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel.
Okay, so I just wrote worthy of the gospel. Don't laugh at that. Again, it's small, so I got to tell them what I write. I know it's weird, whatever. So he says, when I find you, I want your manner of life. Manner of life. I want from your waking, from how you make your coffee, your manner of life, how you relate to the gas station attendant, how you relate to the waitress, how you relate to someone who mistreats you. I want your manner of life to be commensurate or the same weight or worthy of the gospel. So here's the gospel. Here's your life. I want them to be balanced. I don't want the gospel to be here when I find you that the gospel's here that I preach to you and your life is down here. He's saying there needs to be balance, which means your countenance, the way you are, how you carry yourself, everything you do needs to meet. He's saying the expectation, the desire is that it's in step and in line with the gospel. Okay. Now, many of us on this live stream, many of us in this room, our understanding of the gospel, I'm going to put this over here. I'll make it a little G gospel because it's still good news, was that Jesus died on a cross. He was buried. He rose again. And if I put my faith and confess that Jesus is Lord, then two things happen. My sins are forgiven. That means stuff that I've done, right? My sins are forgiven. All the bad things you've done, you get forgiven. This was the gospel I heard growing up. Number two, you're saved from hell. And number three, you're going to heaven. So many of us heard the gospel this way. Jesus died on a cross. He was buried. On the third day, he rose. If you believe that he did that for you, that he loved you, that he died on a cross for your sins, that you deserve death, and that you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, he said, then all of your sins will be forgiven. You will not go to hell, and you get to go to heaven when you die. Most believers, when they hear the word, the gospel, this is what they think of. True?
Yeah.
I'll say, man, I'm going to need something to erase it in a minute. Oh, there's some good thoughts. So again, worthy of the gospel, and this is the church's understanding of the gospel. Okay? Now I'm going to lay out tonight, I want to continually cast vision because for those of you who are part of the upper room, for me preach at the upper room, the joke is we'll be in the green room and someone will say, what are you going to preach tonight? And I look at them kind of funny, preach the gospel. And so here's what I've wrestled with. When I say the gospel, I'm going to show you tonight what I mean. I'm going to show you what comes up in my mind. I'm going to lay it out because I've been wrestling in prayer over this. Because when I say the gospel and you hear the gospel, I think sometimes we think about different things. Mm-hmm. And I know for the church at large, we're definitely talking about something different. Yeah. Okay? So here's my hope, is if we, the church, don't have an understanding on the gospel, like what is the gospel, can we all agree on the gospel? Then we could agree on the faith of the gospel. And we could be in one mind and one spirit. Because Brenny read, he says, when I find you, I want your life to be worthy, standing firm. Watch this. Standing firm in one spirit, in one mind. So it's interesting to me that he distinguishes spirit and mind. Mind means that our minds have an understanding of what we're all one standing firm in oneness on, right? Like that we would leave this room and go, I understand. Do you understand? The sky is blue. Almond milk lattes are bad. Jesus is Lord. So here's what I've done. I've told people, I've said, hey, can you tell me what is the faith of the gospel? Because our Bible says that we're supposed to be one mind, one spirit, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. And I've asked Christians that, hey, what's the faith of the gospel? And they look at me. And what we're saying is people are leaving the faith, but the church doesn't even know what the faith is. It's really real. It's a big problem. I encourage you, if you've not done this, has anyone taken me up on this? Has anyone taken me up on this and polled any of their friends and family who are Christians and said, hey, what is the faith of the gospel? I encourage you. No, don't be mean about it. Don't like gotcha. Just for your own research. Like, does anyone else not find that? Like, I'm not the only one that finds that a little bit like, but just ask them and for yourself, see their response. Hey, Philippians 1:27, Paul says that we have one mind, one spirit striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. What is the faith of the gospel? Are we in agreement that that would be bizarre that Christians across the board can't answer that question? I want to lay out, when I say the gospel, and again, I'm not going to be able to lay out really everything I see. All right, so go to Galatians 1 real quick. I'm going to read it, and then we'll get to Ephesians 2 at the end, hopefully. Galatians 1. I've read this before. This is nothing new. Look at this, Galatians 1:11. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me is not man's gospel, for I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. So Paul says the gospel that was preached, that he preached, was not man's gospel. I would like to submit to you that this gospel is man's gospel. Why do I say that? Because this gospel is all about man. My sins, I don't go to hell, and I go to heaven. Now, are these true fruits of the gospel?
Yes.
But is this the gospel?
Not completely.
Okay, so the gospel is a revelation of Jesus. The gospel is a revelation. It's an unveiling of Jesus. Now, before we get too charismatic and weird, because sometimes when I think, granted, I grew up in the Bible church, so when I hear revelation of Jesus, I can be tempted to think that it's just the never-ending unveiling of Jesus, and I can never really know what the gospel is. It's just this never-ending thing, an unveiling of Jesus. I would like to submit to you that's not the gospel. The gospel is three specific revelations of who Jesus is. Specific. Okay? I know many of you have heard this before, but I'm gonna show you this in a different way. So the revelation, the question that everyone's asking is, who is Jesus? Now the gospel, the good news, is a revelation of Jesus. So when you hear gospel, don't think this, think revelation of Jesus. Okay? So then when you think revelation of Jesus, okay, well, what revelation of Jesus? Now, before you get nervous on me, I'm going to show you where this fits in, why this is not biblical. It's just not, we're not painting the picture of the gospel. Okay? So the first revelation of Jesus in the gospel is that he is the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Okay? So he's the Messiah, writing Messiah up here. Okay? We're going to unpack that in a minute. The second revelation is that he is our high priest. And then the third one, he's our bridegroom. This, I cannot emphasize how important This is the gospel. And you say, oh, come on, Peter. John the Baptist, when he announced Jesus to Israel, He included these three revelations of Jesus in his announcement. Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That's the Messiah. There is one coming after me who's mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to untie. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. That's what the high priest does. The Lamb does not baptize you in the Holy Spirit. The high priest baptizes you in the Holy Spirit after he ascends to the throne of God and receives the promised Spirit from the Father in Acts 3. But he doesn't just baptize you in the Holy Spirit. He will also baptize you in fire. The charismatics, this is not more of the Holy Spirit. This is reference to when he comes again, he's baptizing this earth in fire. Did you know that?
Yes.
He's going to baptize planet Earth in fire. That's awesome. And everything will be purified. So John the Baptist said, behold, listen, you got to catch this. John the Baptist was heaven's billboard for the Messiah. Father was like, yeah, we need a, my son's coming. What's the marketing team? Let's get the guy in the camel. Yep, camel hair, locust, honey, wild man. That's who's going to announce my son. It's going to be the billboard. Hey, Jesus, shouldn't we pick the Romans and maybe Caesar? No. I want that guy. OG Baptist, first Baptist on planet Earth. Praise God. I love the Baptist, man. If they're all like JTB. Come on. So John was heaven's billboard, sent by the Father. And he announces, he goes, this is the revelation of Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world and baptizes with the Holy Spirit and with fire. So that's awesome. We see that revelation. Now, many of us, even here on the screen, we go, okay, that's great, Peter. That's a revelation of Jesus. How does that impact my life today? How is my life worthy of the gospel? Like, help me connect the dots, okay? So I'm going to help you connect the dots. So every revelation of Jesus is associated with the distinct work of Jesus. Jesus worked, is working, and will work, so you don't have to. What is his work as Messiah? The death, burial, and I'm going to just put res, okay? This is the work of Jesus as Messiah. This is what he did. This is who Jesus is. This is what he did. How do we receive Jesus' work as Messiah? How do we receive this work on our behalf? So I preach the Messiah to you. I tell you that he died, he buried, he rose again. And your faith reaches onto that word, because faith comes by hearing the word of God, right? So your faith hears it. And then what happens to you practically? After your faith lays hold of the work of Christ, then what happens?
You're born again.
Yeah, but how are you born again? You're saved by
grace.
So every time you put your faith in the work of Jesus, grace is supplied to you. This is how you're saved, grace. So grace is, you can exchange this. The grace of God, the power of God, and the Spirit of God are oftentimes interchangeable in regards to your salvation, your deliverance, your maturity into Christlikeness. When you think grace, you can think Spirit, you can think power. You think any area of your life that you need power, what you're saying is, I need grace.
Yeah.
And I'm going to explain something to you. Everyone on the screen, any area of your life you need power. What you're saying is, I need grace. And here's my promise to you. There is enough grace in all of this. You just haven't figured out how to get it yet because no one preached to you the word. All right. So what we're saying is we receive this by grace through faith. Watch this. I've got real notes. So I know you guys can't see this. The top one, Messiah, that's who. Death, burial, and resurrection, that's what. How is by grace through faith, and I'm doing what? Now watch this. If I put my faith in the Messiah, the work of the Messiah, here's where I don't think we're all on the same page. Okay? And we don't have a big enough whiteboard. Okay, but I'm gonna list out 10 things that this work, his work as Messiah, accomplishes for you and me. You ready?
Yes.
We've been given three things. Forgiveness of sins, not going to hell, going to heaven. And we've packaged that as the sum total deal, okay? It's meaning everything you've done wrong is forgiven. Number two, the removal of our sin nature. Did you know that your nature changed because of the cross? That he who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God? Meaning on the cross, he became our sinful nature so that we could become his righteous nature. This is part of the cross. This is part of the gospel. Meaning we're no longer the sinner that we thought we've always been. Okay, that's number two. You've heard me preach on that a lot. Number three, he took our punishment, which is what? Death. So he takes our death. That's awesome. Number four, this is the one I think we're going to talk about tonight. He brings us near to God. This is Ephesians 2. His blood brings you near. Listen, the blood of Jesus brings you near to God. I'm going to stay here because we won't even go to Ephesians 2. Go to Ephesians 2 later, 11 through 20, I think it is. You can read that. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that can bring you near to God. I meet Christians, they feel far from God. Do you know what that means when a Christian feels far from God? It means they've lost faith in the blood of Jesus to bring them near to God. So when a Christian loses faith in the blood of Jesus to bring them near to God, and they don't know that their problem is a lack of faith because really they're now in unbelief in what the blood has done, they now try to do a bunch of things to get near to God, not realizing that what they're doing to try to get near to God is really an offense to the blood that brings you near. If I try to read my Bible and pray enough to get near to God, not mindful of the blood, I'm offending the blood. In the nearness of God, when you're near to God, guess what? You have peace. The evidence of anxiety in the church is proof that we've not the foggiest idea of the blood of Jesus. You cannot exist in anxiety the way that the church is being plagued by anxiety, depression, and be near to God. Now, this is not a condemnation. I understand anxiety is a very real thing. I'm not shaming anybody. It's real. But here's what I am promising you, that when you let the blood grow big in your heart and thrust you into the presence of God, not because you're super strong Christian, not because you can flex on God and look at, but because you simply allow the blood to thrust you into the presence and go, man, you know what? There's nothing. God's design is that the blood brings me as close as I'll ever be. So the blood brings you near. The blood and the body initiates the new covenant. When I say covenant, this means God has initiated a type of relationship with us that he can never break. This means everything that God is as Father, all of his goodness, all of his power, all of his glory, he has now joined it with us and said, hey, I'm on your team, you're on my team, you're in my family, we have covenant together. The depth of relationship of the word covenant, again, with the orphan spirit that's on the bride, it proves that we do not understand and trust covenant. I'm not being mean. I'm just talking about the fruit that we have is not worthy of the gospel. Our manner of life is not reflecting the worthiness of the gospel. Okay? So he provides us, that's the new covenant. John 6. Food and drink for our spirit. John 6, he says, eat my flesh, drink my blood. And anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood, he has life in him. He'll never die. What's he talking about? He's referencing his work as Messiah when he dies, which is the love of God. He's saying, receive my love every single day, and that's food for your spirit and drink for your spirit. So in his work as Messiah, he sets a table for you for the rest of your Christian life to just yum, 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 yum. To eat. Okay? So when you hear gospel, you hear Messiah, you start to see this Rolodex of truths unfold that flow from the Messiah.
By his stripes, you're healed. Physical healing is promised through the Messiah. He gives us eternal life, meaning we will never die. Number 9, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. We're justified. We're made righteous.
That's a short 10 things. There's many more.
Thanks for tuning into this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I want to encourage you, if you haven't already, to subscribe to the Braveheart podcast. If you subscribe, it just somehow with all the metrics and numbers, it helps us be more visible to other people. And we just really want to get the message of who Jesus is and this gospel message out. So subscribe, share it with your friends, and we'll see you next week.